Amen. Good morning. Let's pray together. God, we do need you so much. So much more than we even realize today. So God, come and meet us here. Come and meet us in whatever doubts or whatever fears we bring with us. Meet us in the joys that we bring with us. But meet us here, God, and speak your word to us. Of all the words spoken this morning, may yours be the one that we hear. And may your word be good news to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're in Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to keep it simple today. I think it feels like a day to keep things simple and just focus on the scripture. Just listen to what God's word is saying to us in this story. You'll recognize this story, but it's Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. It says, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized to him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy even to stoop down and untie the thong on his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven came and said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the story of Jesus' baptism. And as Ed has mentioned before, the baptism, you know, baptism is an ancient tradition. Jesus was not the first one to be baptized. Not even John was the first one to do baptizing. Baptism has its roots in a much more ancient Jewish practice of the tradition of the mikvah pool, where people would descend into the water to be cleansed, to be anointed. It was a practice that kings and prophets and priests would engage in to inaugurate their ministry. And so what we have here is a story of Jesus' inauguration. Now, I don't know if you follow the news, but we have an inauguration coming up. So there's some, right? You know about that, right? And this is, unless you've been under a rock, right? And so like any inauguration, what we're seeing here is a sort of a snapshot, some symbols, some imagery in this story is giving us clues as to what kind of ministry Jesus is going to have. We have symbols in this story, words and symbols that tell us, that give us hints, so that we shouldn't have any misconceptions about what kind of a king Jesus is. And yet, people had all kinds of misconceptions. Even throughout Jesus' ministry, among his own disciples, there was confusion about what kind of king Jesus was, what Jesus was coming to do. But I think what we see in this story is they really shouldn't have. They thought that Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans and defeat them in combat and take the seat of power from the Roman emperor and reinstate the kingdom of Israel. But it turns out that's not actually what Jesus came to do, at least not in those terms. Jesus came to show that real power is actually revealed in self-sacrificial love. But people missed the point. And if they were looking, I think, and I want to just take our time this morning to go through this story, look at some of the symbols, to see that if they were looking hard enough, they would have seen it from the very beginning. First of all, this story begins with John baptizing and proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins. His baptism is a baptism of repentance. The starting point here is people confessing their sins. It doesn't begin with condemnation of other people. It doesn't begin with John or Jesus pointing out how bad the Romans are and how they need to be fixed. It begins with them looking at themselves and recognizing their own need for forgiveness. It's not pointing out the evil in others and harboring resentment towards them. It's recognizing the evil in yourself. So Jesus begins his ministry with repentance. Now, that doesn't stop people from being confused, right? People still missed the point. People still expected Jesus to condemn their enemies. Remember, Jesus had to clarify this in John 3:16 and 17. You remember John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, so on and so forth. The verse 17, I should just say that whole verse, right? That's like sacrilegious. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And the next verse, he clarifies, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Repentance is greater than resentment and condemnation. The story continues, and it reminds us that the one who baptizes Jesus is John. This, I don't know if you picked up on it, but he's a little weird, right? He hangs out in the wilderness, he wears camel clothes, he eats locusts and wild honey, which is kind of code for like sap. I don't know what he's eating out there. There may be some protein in there. I don't know if anybody on like the keto diet could tell me if that would have worked. I'm not sure. But by my standards, John's a little weird. He's not some political superpower or some prince or some priest who's inaugurating Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry is inaugurated by this kind of poor, lonely guy in the wilderness who's spent his entire life proclaiming that Jesus is coming. And he says, one who is more powerful than I is coming. This ministry begins not with arrogance or power or pride, but with the humility of someone saying, you know what, actually it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And he does not point out his own special status. It doesn't begin with him saying, look how great I am. I'm the one who's supposed to make way for Jesus. We still miss the point on that, I think. I think sometimes we think that being Christians is about having some special status. I am a Christian. I'm somehow better than someone else because of that. I have some special status with God because I go to church or something. People missed it in Jesus' day. Even his own disciples clamored to figure out who was better. Remember, in Mark 9, Jesus addresses this. His disciples had been arguing, who's the greatest in Jesus' kingdom? Okay, we know Jesus is cool and we're all great, right? But who's actually his favorite, right? This kind of happens. And Jesus says, you know what? It's not about that. He says, whoever wants to be first must be last and a servant of all. Jesus' ministry does not begin with arrogance or asserting some special status. It begins with humility. It begins with that confession. It's really not about me, it's about him. He's greater than I am. And as the story continues, Jesus is baptized by John, and it says that the heavens were torn apart. Now, I don't want to miss the violence of that imagery, right? The heavens being torn apart because something is happening, something big, but don't miss the irony that when the heavens are torn apart, Jesus sees a dove. The dove descends on him, a symbol, the universal symbol of peace descends on him. This ministry begins not with violence, but with peace. God's peace that surpasses all understanding. And again, it didn't stop people from missing the point. Some people saw heavens torn open and missed the dove part, and they just thought this was supposed to be a movement, an insurrection, a resistance. And even Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, missed that point. You remember when Jesus was being arrested in Gethsemane? What did Peter do? He pulled out his sword. He thought, oh, now it's time. It's go time. Now we fight. And Jesus' words to him are, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Put that away. Jesus' ministry begins not with violence, but with peace. Because peace, as it turns out, is greater than violence. And perhaps the most important voice in the story, as it has to be the most important voice in the story, because it's God's voice. When the dove descends on Jesus, the voice of the Lord speaks and says, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." My beloved is the signature. That's the signature at the end of the letter of this story. Is God is saying to Jesus, "I love you. I'm pleased with you." Remember, Jesus, Ed pointed this out, I think on Christmas Eve, that Jesus hadn't done anything yet, right? God's not pleased with him because he performed some great action. God is just pleased with Jesus because he's his son. This word of love is the signature word of this inauguration, and it is the signature word of Jesus' entire ministry. If you are going to sum up what Jesus came to do and be in the world, it is love. The author of 1 John said as much. God is love. And Jesus shows us that. It didn't stop people from being confused and from thinking that they really still needed to have some people that they didn't love, or to think that, you know, yes, my crowd, of course I love them, but I gotta be worried about those people. It didn't stop people from still acting and living in fear. And it doesn't stop us from living and acting out of fear and anxiety, does it? We still do that. Many of us are afraid right now. But Jesus says that perfect love casts out fear. In 1 John, the author of John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Jesus' ministry begins and ends in love, because love is greater than our anxiety and than our fear. This is who Jesus is. We need to remember that. Now more than ever, we need to remember just who Jesus is. It's not enough to just say we follow Jesus. We have to remember which Jesus we follow. Who is this Jesus? And we cannot live in resentment, in arrogance, with violence in our hearts, in fear and anxiety, but with repentance, with humility, with peace, with love. It is with these things that we need to stand up for justice. It's with these things that we need to live and move in the world, and it is by these things that God is going to transform the world. We have no hope in anything else. Just Jesus. Remember that. Expect that. And live under the reign of this Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you've shown yourself to be. Forgive us, God, for forgetting who you are. Forgive us for taking your name in vain and making it mean things it doesn't mean. And God, help us to live lives of repentance, humility, peace, and most of all, love. We love you, God. Receive our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.